I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guests today are Dr. David Argo and Glenn Prosser from Beacon Orthopedic. David, you're a practicing doctor there, an orthopedic doctor, and Glenn, you've got a business background, a longtime P&G manager, and now in the last several years, you've changed careers and you're the CEO of Beacon.
Exactly. It was a situation where after 31 years of Procter & Gamble, I decided to leave and took a few months off, started doing some consulting, and one of the companies I consulted with was Beacon, and it led to being interviewed for the CEO position, and I've had it now for coming up on 5 years.
Well, I would think being in the medical field is pretty challenging these days with all the changes that are occurring and are continuing to occur. And one thing I've observed is I see a lot of medical groups, including other orthopedic practices, who are merging in with hospitals. Is that something that's in your future?
Well, hopefully not. We're very happy being independent, and we fully expect to remain independent for a long, long time. But you know, personally, I think there are reasons for it. Many of the groups that have joined hospital systems might have done it not necessarily because they wanted to, but because they had to. And the thing that I keep reminding all of our docs is that the orthopedic and sports medicine, it is a business. And if you don't treat it as a business, bad things will happen. And it's no different than selling soap or selling cars or whatever. You have to have sound strategies and good business plans and good balance sheets and good organizational design and so on. And if you don't do that, things will happen. And I think that could be some of what's happening in the healthcare industry, not only in Cincinnati, but certainly across the U.S.
Well, it seems like they've taken at least one good step. They've hired a person with a good business background to help them run
so
their business.
So far, so good, but thank you.
Yeah, I think that was a kind of a godsend to Beacon, especially at this point in the transition that most businesses are going through in the healthcare, is that we now have someone who is a business-focused leader. You know, in my background before going to medical school was 7 or 8 years at Procter & Gamble as well. And so having someone who speaks the Procter language, you know, talking about quality and customer service, boom, that's the thing that you need in today's healthcare business.
You know, when you look back at the history of healthcare and medical practices, think back, you know, when I was young, you'd walk into the doctor's office and the doctor's spouse might be the front desk person, and the doctor's sister might be the billing clerk, and so on. You can't survive in this day and age with that type of arrangement. And I think, again, that's an example where, you know, if you don't treat it as a business, you're going to end up in a different situation.
Right. Well, thanks for being our guest today, gentlemen. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guests today are Dr. David Argo and Glenn Prosser. They are with Beacon Orthopedic. And gentlemen, one thing I've noticed is that there aren't many independent orthopedic practices, really fewer medical practices in general, but especially orthopedic. What makes Beacon different that's allowed you to remain independent of a hospital ownership?
Sure. I'll speak from the clinical side, and then Glenn can talk from the business side. I think that our biggest key to success has been that we provide a quality product, customer service, very patient-oriented, and the patients have responded to that, and they know that they're going to get a board-certified, quality orthopedic surgeon that's going to take special care of them. It's not a cookie-cutter approach. It's an individualized approach, and we try to do that. And that's some of the learning that we got, both Glenn and I, from Procter & Gamble, customer service and quality, pounded into us over and over and over again from the leadership of Procter & Gamble, and we've applied that into orthopedics in a very special way. If someone calls in and wants an appointment, they get one. They get one that day or within 24 hours because that's our approach. We want to take care of the patients. We know it interferes with lives. We want to get people back to doing their jobs. That's our focus.
Yeah, from a business standpoint, it's like any other business. Having a strong group of people to manage is important. When you look back at the history of healthcare, oftentimes, particularly 10, 15, 20 years ago, You'd have the doctor not only seeing patients, but also a doctor running the business. In this day and age, there's far more complexities that exist than they did back in the day. And as a result, it's very important that I think you've got a separate management team and a separate doctor team. And what I'll tell the docs is I certainly want the docs to be involved in the business, but what I tell them is you focus on those things that Dr. Argo was talking about, and that's patient care and making certain that we take good care of the patients, and let me take care of the business side. And that seems to work very well.
Well, it sounds like those sound business practices and paying attention to your customers has helped you stay independent. If people want more information about Beacon Orthopedic, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, certainly the telephone at area code 513-354-3700. And, of course, we're on the web at beaconortho.com.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for being my guest today. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guests today are Dr. David Argo and Glenn Prosser from Beacon Orthopedic. Dr. Argo, you're a practicing doctor there. Glenn, you're the CEO. I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes in the world of sports medicine and medicine in general in the last several years. What do you think it's going to look like 5 years from now in the way of sports medicine?
Well, I tell you, this is one of the most exciting times in the history of sports medicine in that we now have some tools to provide what we call cartilage restoration, specifically the knee and the shoulder. There are some things that we can do to actually, where people have had an injury and maybe lost some cartilage in their knee, there's stem cell research that's out there and available, and we've got one of our doctors that's kind of leading the charge in the area on that. There's things that are called platelet-rich plasma injections. There's juvenile cartilage transplants that are going on now, and we do those things, and we're kind of leading the charge. And I think as they get to be more and more understood and the successes are really out there, the whole practice of maybe joint replacement is going to be delayed, if not replaced, by some of the cartilage replacement surgeries, which means you get to keep what God gave you and hopefully keep you running, keep you active, keep you playing tennis and golf longer. Now, it's not a godsend to every single person, but there are people out there now that I see on a regular basis, and we've started doing these cartilage restoration surgeries, and people are extremely happy with them.
And I assume if you have an injury today with your knee or your shoulder, the chances of your recovering well are a lot greater than they were 20 years ago.
Oh, amazingly better. Then, if you just look at some of the famous athletes, Joe Namath in the past, if he'd had some of the techniques available to him that we do now, he would have played for another 20 years probably. So it's amazing what we're able to do now from a sports standpoint and keeping people functional.
Well, if people want more information about Beacon Orthopedic, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, certainly you can give us a call on the phone is at area code 513-354-3700, but also on the web at beaconortho.com.
Well, thanks for being our guest today. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Craig Kurz. Craig is the Chief Executive Officer and the grandson of the founder of Honey Baked Ham Company of Ohio. Craig, Mother's Day is right around the corner. It's got to be a big day for you.
It is, and it's a wonderful way to celebrate with Mom.
And speaking of Mom, I know your mom was quite the visionary. She was and has been a very instrumental part of the growth of this company. Why is it that Honey Baked Ham is so heavily influenced by women?
Well, first of all, my grandfather had four daughters, and in 1957, he opened the Honey Baked Ham Company as a family-owned business. He's an entrepreneur. He invented the spiral slicing machine back in 1957. The four daughters, sort of as a lot of family businesses, all hands on deck. So they started working in the business, just helping around at the holidays in their late teens and early 20s. Well, my mother happened to be a dental hygienist. My father was a pharmacist, and in 1966, so a few years later, they chose to open the second honey baked store in the country in 1966 in Northern Ohio. So they were the first ones to, I'll call it, expand the brand and take the brand into another state and open the second store.
Well, and that brand has expanded significantly, hasn't it? How many stores are in just your division now?
We have regional offices. So the Four Daughters established offices across the country, and we basically divided up the territory in equal parts. And the Ohio territory has about 38 locations. It has 60 franchise locations. The 38 are corporate-owned, family-owned and operated. And then we also extend the brand now through a Kroger partnership, where here in Cincinnati, we're currently operating about 18 Krogers, in Kentucky about 15, and these are kiosks. So, Tom, to answer your question specifically, it's a multi-channel brand right now.
I've learned that those employees, even the kiosks, are your employees, correct?
Absolutely. We want to mirror the same experience you'd get at the Kenwood store or at the Florence store so that you can have that same product. It's our team members. It's our product. They're fresh made and delivered every single day. Honeybaked4U, F-O-R-Y-O-U.com. We'll have all the store hours in the select Kroger locations as well as our store locations.
Craig, thank you so much for being our guest. And I want to continue our conversation tomorrow with Craig Kurz, who is the CEO of Honeybaked Hams. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Craig Kurz. Craig is the CEO of Honeybaked Ham and the grandson of the founder of Honeybaked Ham. And Craig, how are you taking the Honeybaked Ham concept and continuing to evolve your company so it remains innovative and really interesting and compelling for generations to come?
Actually, that is a topic that we discuss every single day, because a brand that's 57 years old, that has been passed on through multi-generations, and through those generations, people change, and their lifestyle changes, and how you communicate to them, and the media, and how you really engage and connect with them, and how they celebrate. Easter that we just had, it's a very different holiday than it was 20, 30 years ago. So what we do is a lot of listening. So we talk to consumers, and our primary audience are women, and we're constantly interfacing with women and really understanding the evolution of our target audience. And we are conducting a national research study with thousands of women across the country, and we'll break it out into regional segments to understand it on a regional basis. But we are really targeting the next generation of Honeybaked. I call them fanatics. And we want them to be able to pass that baton. And that means product development. That means new products, different sizes, assortments. That means side dishes, maybe the whole meal. Sometimes people don't want bone-in hams. And maybe the next generation, they don't want to make a pot of soup with the bones. So we have a boneless product. Things like that are the ways we are evolving the brand.
Do you vary your offerings depending on the location they're at, based on regional taste?
In many respects, the core products are the same because they expect them, because people travel from city to city, whether it's from here to Columbus or from here to Florida, they expect that same experience. But then we will surround it with local products, local desserts, baked goods, sauces, things like that.
Tom and I work with many business owners, all privately held business owners. And it's fascinating to me because many times when you have a business owner who's really good at one thing, they think they can do all things. And so they tend to veer off course. They leave their common core. How do you at Honeybaked Ham stay focused and really stick with your primary purpose and your vision?
For us, it really goes back to our core business and what my parents established and my grandfather established, and that is best-in-class products. So if we're developing an alternative turkey or we're developing a side dish, those have to be best-in-class. So the standard is really set around the core ham business, making them fresh every day, and for us, delivering them fresh through our team members. So you're not going to find us on a shelf in a consumer packaged good environment. You're going to see us with kiosk in a mass channel environment so we can deliver that experience. Honeybaked4U.com, that's our website, and it has all the information, hours, assortment.
Craig, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is David Goodwin. David is co-founder and managing partner of Advanced Technology Consulting, Inc., which is an independent telecom agency and consulting firm. And David, I know your firm works a lot with voice over internet protocol phone systems, which use the internet and are cloud-based systems for telecommunications. And lots of companies use the cloud for all types of things, you know, data, tax preparation, data storage, whatever it may be. What happens if your internet connection goes down? Do you no longer have access to your data, to your phone system? What do you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's kind of a catch-22, right? You put all your eggs in one basket, and then all of a sudden, if you lose that basket, you're in trouble, right? So we advise our clients to look for alternative solutions to their bandwidth, okay? If you're going to put everything out in the cloud, your phone system, your CRM, your accounting software, and any other software that you might use, it makes good sense until you lose your internet connection. So what we do is typically we're advising customers to go with fiber or Ethernet as the transport for data services. Very reliable, very stable, very scalable, great single source, primary source of your internet bandwidth. The problem is occasionally some guy with a backhoe digs it up and then it's not working anymore. So we're also advising customers to get a separate circuit. And a lot of times that might be from the cable provider, say a broadband circuit, Time Warner Cable. They have different bandwidth speeds. And it comes down to the customer, how much redundancy do they want? Because at the end of the day, you can spend a lot of money to have equal bandwidth to your primary, but our job is to find ways for them to kind of trim that down to make sure they could limp along in the event of a catastrophe.
Sure. And I guess the idea is you look at what's it cost you to be down, what's it cost per hour, and you know, what's it worth to have that backup. And I can vouch for that because we had ours primary one go down on April 13th, which was not very good timing for us. But fortunately, we did have a backup source and we were only down for about an hour till we got switched over.
Yeah, so you don't lose the productivity that somebody else that maybe didn't have the forethought that you had. And there are lots of different ways of doing it, too. Do you want it to come in from the same pole of the street? You know, Cincinnati Bell in this area is a local exchange carrier, so in a lot of cases, they're providing the last mile to you. But the problem with that is that whoever else you might choose is also going to be using that last mile. So do maybe you want to get a coax broadband circuit from Time Warner Cable, you might even be able to get it to come into a different point of the building. The whole idea is to reduce the number of single points of failure. The less single points of failure you have, the better shape you're in.
Well, thanks for that great information. And David, if people want more information about that or any other telecom issues, what's the best way to contact you?
They can contact me directly at 513-323-1122, and I'd be happy to turn them over to the consultant that would best fit their individual needs, or our website at www.4atc.com. Those would be the two best contact places.
Okay, David. Well, thanks for that great information. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. One question we get asked often, especially this time of year when people are trying to do their spring cleaning, is how long you have to keep records, and particularly how long do you have to keep them so that you have enough documentation for your tax returns. And the key time period that you have to be concerned with is 3 years. That's the normal statute of limitations. 3 years from the date of filing your tax return is how long, generally, the IRS has to audit that return or to make changes. So you want to make sure that you keep all your records pertaining to your tax returns for at least 3 years. In some instances, the IRS can go back as far as 6 years. So we recommend that you keep all records for at least 6 years, so that if you have to prove that the returns you filed were correct, you've got the documentation to do that. There are certain records that you need to keep on a more permanent basis, and that would be items that document the cost basis of assets that you have. For instance, if you've made stock investments or mutual fund investments, if your broker is not tracking the cost basis for you, you have to maintain those records to track it yourself. If you own real estate, you want to keep all the records pertaining to the cost of the real estate, including any improvements you've made along the way. If it's your personal residence, you only have to report gain if you've lived there long enough, if it's more than $250,000 if you're single, or $500,000 if you're married. So most people don't have to worry about the tax on that gain. However, you still have to prove that your gain is less than that amount, so you do need to document the basis. For stocks and mutual fund purchases, you need to make sure that you keep track of reinvestments as well as the original cost. In many cases, people use the dividends to reinvest and buy additional shares, and they may neglect to keep track of that basis. Again, nowadays, most brokerage firms do that for you,
But if your records go back far enough, the brokerage firms may not have that original cost basis, or you may have changed brokerage firms, in which case they sometimes get lost. Another item that you have to take into consideration is just how many paper documents you want laying around. With identity theft becoming such a problem, it's best to secure your documents, and if you can shred your paper documents and maintain electronic copies, it's much easier to do, it's much neater, and if you have the right system, it's easy to retrieve and find the electronic files, and many people find that the way to go, and they can easily then transmit those electronic files electronically when they're needed to prove information that you need to prove. So if you want to do your spring house cleaning, get rid of your paper files, convert what you need to electronic, and just permanently get rid of a lot of your files in most cases. When in doubt, the rule should be don't throw it out, keep it. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guests today are Teresa Tanner, who is the Executive Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer at Fifth Third Bank. Teresa is also a current 2014 YWCA Career Woman of Achievement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We also have with us Diane Jordan Grizzard. Diane is a board member and the co-chair of the YWCA's annual luncheon, which is just absolutely phenomenal. Every year, it still amazes me that how many people, Diane? Thousands.
2,000 plus every year, and we definitely want to hit that target this year because it's our 35th anniversary.
And in large part, they're coming to honor and be supportive of the great honorees that we have every year, like Teresa. But many people come in support of the Y and the great work that the Y does, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, let's talk about Teresa. So Teresa, you are a winner. You've been honored in part because of your work at Fifth Third. When times were tough, you still insisted on continuing employee development, employee issues, and I think that's a wonderful thing because obviously in a service company, I know that very firsthand, if you don't have employee support, then you know that's what the company's made of.
Yes. And you know, you mentioned times have been tough, and especially in our industry, banking, certainly we can say that over the last 6 or 7 years. And particularly if I look back to that 2009-2010 timeframe where most banks were unprofitable, it would have been really easy for us to just kind of go into survival mode. But we knew that if we made the right investments then in our employees, our customers, our technology, in the infrastructure, we would be able to come out of this crisis in the best position. And so I was just really proud of our leadership for being able to make those courageous decisions.
Well, that's wonderful. And Diane, the luncheon is when?
It's May 14th at 1130 Convention Center.
And again, we're going to be celebrating how many award winners?
8 award winners. They are just diverse women of all levels within our community, nonprofit, profit. We have one of the women who has been leading the Muse Choir for over 30 years. It's just a fantastic roster of very accomplished women, and we're so excited to honor them.
And again, if folks would like to learn more about the luncheon, which is coming up
May 14th, they can purchase tickets. We have lots of tickets available. We have tables that can still be purchased. Just log on to www.ywcacincinnati.org.
Thank you very much. And again, congratulations. We'll continue our conversation tomorrow. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. Our guests today are Teresa Tanner. Teresa is the Executive Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer at Fifth Third and a current YWCA Career Woman of Achievement. Congratulations, Teresa.
Thank you.
We also have with us Diane Jordan Grizzard. She's the Director of Strategic Talent Management at BHDP Architects, but she's also the co-chair of this year's luncheon, which is just a spectacular event. I was honored a few years ago to be one of the YWCA Career Woman of Achievement, Diane, and I tell you what, it's still... It was awing to me how many people attend this event and the amazing work that the Y does. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can share some of the work and what impact the Y has on our community.
The YWCA has been having this luncheon 35 years. And the first thing I think from the Lift As You Climb standpoint is that we are showcasing women in a way that allows other women in the audience to see that they might be able to achieve some things that they hadn't thought so.
Yeah, and you mentioned Lift As You Climb, which is the theme.
Lift As You Climb. And so that's the other thing. We are reaching back, helping women through the Mamie Earl Sells Scholarship Program. We are reaching back and helping women with our Rising Stars Program, which are 40 and under women who are breaking glass ceilings in their corporate and nonprofit organizations. We have the Battered Women's Shelter that is just doing phenomenal work helping women to escape some terrible situations with their children in many cases, but get back on their feet through education, through child care programs so that they can work and go to school while their children are being taken care of in an affordable way.
You know, Teresa, it has to be for you just so overwhelming and really such an honor to be named, because you being a YWCA Career Women Achievement, this luncheon helps fund all these great things that the Y does.
Absolutely. And it is awing to be and humbling to be in such a league of women that have come before me.
Well, and you have kids.
I do.
So what an example it is to your own children.
I hope so. I have one daughter who's 23, and I now have the opportunity to bring her along on some of these events and introduce her to some of these programs and programs that we have today that we didn't have 20, 30, 40 years ago. Making those connections for my daughter and other women is just such a great opportunity.
Well, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Diane, thank you for your leadership and making this 35th luncheon such a success. If folks listening would like to support, they'd like to get tickets, attend, how can they get that information?
Just log on to www.ywcacincinnati.org.
Well, thank you both. And for BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guests today are Teresa Tanner. Teresa is the Executive Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer at Fifth Third. I also have with us as a guest Diane Jordan-Grizzard. Diane is the Director of Strategic Talent Management at BHDP Architects. And welcome, ladies. I know both of you are involved in human resources, dealing with the employees of your respective companies. And I guess I'm just curious about your perspective on women in the workforce. Now, Teresa, you've been recently named as a YWCA Career Woman of Achievement. That luncheon's next Wednesday. Congratulations. Diane, you are the co-chair of that luncheon. But let's talk today about what you're seeing in terms of women and balance and women in the workforce, and how do your employees, your women employees specifically, do it all? Teresa?
You know, balance is a topic that, as you can imagine, comes up quite frequently. And a couple of things come to mind when people ask me about balance. First is, I think women need to give themselves a break more and just reevaluate their standards and what they're holding themselves accountable to. I remember, for example, I thought being a great mom meant sewing Halloween costumes. Well, I did that, and my kids didn't want to be a chicken and a duck, for God's sakes. They wanted to be whatever was selling at the Halloween store. And so I think as women, sometimes we try to be something that we don't need to be, and we need to reevaluate that.
And what about you, Diane? What do you see?
Well, one of the things that I have had lots of conversations about at the YWCA, specifically with the Career Women of Achievement and the Rising Stars, we talk a lot about you might want to have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, we have to make trade-offs. And so sometimes I'm growing my career, sometimes I'm raising my children. I was talking to a Rising Star the other day, and she had to call me back three times because she was picking up her daughter from school, taking her daughter to ballet, and then, oh, by the way, she had to go to swim class after that. And so we're all juggling those things, and it's about making choices about what's important to you and your family at that time.
You know, I learned at a very young age that, as a young professional woman, that I just needed to get lots of help. I was never afraid to ask for help. I delegate as much as I can. And I know, Teresa, you have a daughter. I have a daughter about the same age. And I think the next generation are going to grow up seeing how it's been done. And I hope, at least for their good, that they don't feel like that they have to be all things to all people.
I hope not. I do believe that it does require a bit of vulnerability, though, for our generation and for theirs. Again, going back to you don't have to do it all, and it's okay to ask for help. There's so much help around you if you just reach out and take it.
Absolutely.
And I think that making sure that you don't believe that asking for help is a sign of weakness.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. Well, ladies, thank you both. And again, the luncheon is Wednesday. If folks would like to buy tickets, they can go to the website at
www.cooneyfaulkner.com. ywcacincinnati.org.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.